I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in just a moment, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 1. Jeremiah was a Hebrew with a wonderful, wonderful heritage. As a young man, he knew the judgment of God was coming. And what God had prophesied concerning his nation was coming to pass in his lifetime. I want us to find in this record in the Word of God the things that will help us establish what we must establish in our homes and families. And I want to place an emphasis not just on parents. Most often we hear about the responsibility of men leading as God has designed in his Word. But I want to place the responsibility upon mothers in guiding the home, in assuring that certain things are done and taught in the home. The Bible says, beginning with verse 1 of Jeremiah chapter 2, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, and through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark that expression that I concluded with. Made mine heritage an abomination. An abomination. Heritage lost. No greater heritage in all the earth. Now the heritage lost. Here, God tells us in chapter 1, beginning with verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." I want to talk to you about keeping our heritage. Keeping our heritage, which means continuing our heritage. The right heritage begins before we're born. All of us receive a certain heritage. It can be a good, godly heritage or one that is not good and godly. What we leave is a legacy of that heritage. But I'm thinking in particular about what God teaches in His Word about leaving the right heritage, receiving the right heritage, and leaving the right heritage. The ideal childhood is for a child to be born into a home that has that godly heritage already established. And that child comes in to that heritage. Childhood provides just a season in life. Life is a season, and childhood is a season in that life. Just a season. I want you to remember that. That season will come and it will go. It will go much sooner than you think. It will be gone, that season in life. Now listen carefully, please. I want you to get it. Listen carefully, please. A season in life. Many people have gone through that season of childhood and have never, ever received what God intended for them to receive. Now, you and I know that's true when it comes to people who don't know the Lord, but many people who profess to know the Lord pass through that season and never receive in that season of childhood what God desires for them to receive. While in that season of childhood, they should receive what is true concerning our Christian heritage, if it's a Christian home. Because they're going to have to pass that heritage on to others. Not only should we talk about that heritage, we should be able to define the elements of that heritage. What are the virtues of that heritage? What is true concerning that heritage? I fear that many of us talk about the Lord and talk about the things of God, that we talk about what people should do, how people should behave, but we lack clarity, so much clarity in that heritage. I hear lots of people talking because we have children come to us and young people come to us in our schools and they talk about girls and boys who don't know anything about being adults. We find girls who have no idea about cooking or no idea about sewing or no idea about washing or this type of thing. And people say, oh, I decry that. I think that's terrible. But what about this? What about a multitude of Christians who know nothing or little or nothing about their Christian faith? If that link is broken in one generation, it won't be received in the next generation. Let me say that again. If it is broken in one generation, it will not be received in the next generation. The most pitiful thing going on in the world is not going on among people who don't know God. The most pitiful thing going on in our world is what's going on among professing believers in Jesus Christ who hold a Bible in their hand and say, I believe the Word of God, but have absolutely no idea about what it says and about giving it to the next generation. It's heartbreaking. And the prophet says here, among other things, he says, and I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof, in verse 7, and the goodness thereof. But when you entered it, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. Not only lost the heritage, but exchanged the heritage for an abomination. Can you imagine people so blessed, so aware of God and God's presence, and then to get to the place where they didn't have the heritage, they replaced it with an abomination, something God despised. What we find in the story of the book of Jeremiah is what we're witnessing in our lifetime, in our own world, in our communities, in our lives. God forbid, in our own homes. I want somehow to bridge this gap between what we find in the Bible and what we're doing in our lives. I want somehow to place in your heart and mind, by the help of God, what we're responsible for, what we've received, and what we are responsible for. I'm going to give you later a list of things, a very clear list of things that should be mentioned in our homes and taught in our homes. Notice, please, in verse 5 of chapter 2. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? God is saying, they found fault in me. Well, tell me, what iniquity have they found in me? And then he says, that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain. They've walked after vanity. Everything we pursue, we become. These misplaced priorities will only be intensified in the next generation. And so, my admonition to you and to me and to my home, let us keep our heritage. Let us keep our heritage. And by the way, beloved, there's only a short season to put that heritage in the lives of those we love, in that season of childhood. And mother, among all that you're doing, make sure you don't miss this most important thing. If a child grows up without knowing how to tell the next generation about his Christian heritage, it's because he hasn't heard it, hadn't been taught it. Or she hasn't heard it, hadn't been taught it. They must know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. The great goal of rearing children is to bring them to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't force them to be Christians. You can't make them trust the Lord as Savior. But to create an atmosphere in the home where they desire to know the same God you know. They desire to pray to the same God you pray to. They desire to get answers to prayer like you get answers to prayer. They desire to live by the same principles that you live by. They see them at work in your life and the confidence it brings, the peace it brings, the calm that it brings to have this confidence in God and to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, to know His Word and the application of His Word in their lives. This is the great goal of a Christian home. That's our heritage. And the finest day is not their day of birth. The greatest day in the life of that child is the day that they're born again and know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. Now I want to show you some things in Scripture that build up to this, and then, God willing, I'll deal with the application of this in a more intense way in the message to follow. Hold your place here and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. God says He's going to do this to His people and for His people. And we're going to see in the people of God what God desires in His people this day. In Exodus chapter 5, Pharaoh receives Moses and Aaron, and the Bible says, and Pharaoh said in verse 2, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." So here Pharaoh, a real person, a personality, the king of Egypt, the ruler of that empire, says to God's messenger, "Who is the Lord to me? I don't know Him. I have no idea who He is. Why should I obey Him? Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice?" Verse 2 of chapter 5. To let Israel go. Moses was telling them that God's message was to let His people go. And then the Lord gives His message in chapter 6 of Exodus, beginning with verse 1, to Moses. The Bible says, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." That means, of course, the covenant God of Israel, who's making this covenant with my people Israel. "And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with a great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land, concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord." He said, I am God, and I'm giving you a heritage. In that heritage that God gave to ancient Israel, he gave a land. But more importantly, he gave himself in this covenant promise that I will be your God and you will be my people. If you spend your entire life trying to convert America or convert whatever country you're in, thinking that that's what God's given us, you've got misplaced priorities. God has given us something greater than a country. I love our country and I want to be the best citizen I can possibly be. But within that country, in our lifetime and beyond our lifetime, God makes covenant with his people. And I want us to get hold of that. And ideally, when you talk about Abraham and his son Isaac and Isaac's son Jacob, God is saying to us in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, from one generation to the next, you are to know this heritage. I gave it to Abraham. It was confirmed to Isaac, confirmed to Jacob. And what we are to do, we are to recognize that more than our life is involved in this. This heritage we've received is not just for my lifetime. It is to my life, but it's not just for my generation. It's for other generations to come who follow the Lord and know the Lord. And so within the world of denying God, within all this profane world in which we live, the Bible says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, we are passing a heritage from one generation to the next. And if we fail to pass that heritage from one generation to the next, then that heritage is going to be lost and become, in its place, an abomination, something God despises. I want you to turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, if you would please, to the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, God begins to talk about what disobedience brings when we fail to continue that heritage. And just for the emphasis I'm trying to make on mothers, I want you to look, please, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning with verse 56. The Bible says, the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter and toward her young one that cometh from between, out from beneath her feet, and toward her children which shall bear, she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. God said, if you fail to keep this covenant and fail to continue this heritage, women that are tender and delicate, mothers of children, are going to become hardened. Their life is no longer going to be the same type of life. What they do will be beyond imagination. And someone's going to say, well, we need to reform what's going on in the country. We've got to do something about all the issues that plague us. Just as they're saying today, all the issues that plague us in our cities, all the issues that plague us with crime. We have 2.4 million people incarcerated today in America. Just this past month, a professional football player was finally convicted of a murder. He's going to be tried for another murder. He was given a life sentence in prison. He made multi-millions of dollars playing for the New England Patriots. When the sentence was passed in the courtroom and he was told he has a life sentence in prison and he has another trial to stand before for another murder, I understand, his mother was in the courtroom. And he looked at his mother and he said, be strong. Be strong. But Anthony Hernandez could say anything he wanted to his mother, but he couldn't change what had happened. The only time any of that could have been changed was in that season of his life. that he had in a home as a child. The only time any difference could have been made was in that short window God gives in childhood. You and I need to get serious, not just about feeding kids meals and making sure they're safe, but putting into their hearts and minds the heritage of the Word of God. And may God help us. Now, they have free will. They can receive it or reject it. But at least they ought to receive it, have the opportunity to make it their own and adhere to it, than to never have heard it. God goes on to tell us here, in the same book, if you'll turn over just a moment, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, the Word of God begins to tell us what happens as this further progresses. In verse 18 of Deuteronomy chapter 32, the Bible says, "Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation." And notice, please, the closing part of verse 20 in Deuteronomy chapter 32. "Children in whom is no faith." Can you think of anything worse for a generation than to raise a generation of children that have no faith in God? Can you think of anything worse? You see, we start with sometimes what the sociologists say, or the criminologists say, or other people in the study of mankind and his behavior, and we see their behavior and we react to all that and think, well, we've got to change their behavior. Well, the only way to really change a person's behavior is to go back and change his heart. We're treating symptoms today all across our country, when the real failure is the failure in the home for what has not been placed in the hearts of children. The loss of a heritage and becomes an abomination to God, something he despises and he will judge and deal with, the Bible says, severely. We are blessed people. We have such opportunity. All of us know that. One news commentator said just yesterday on a national news network, all of us realize that America is falling apart. Just like that. He said, all of us realize that America is falling apart. Now I want to ask you a question. If that be true, where do we start putting it back together? Where? In the home. With the home. And guiding in the home a mother who ensures that the right heritage is continuing. May God help us. Certain things stand out from your childhood. I remember one day, I must not have been more than 7 years old, I was playing with some of my family members, aunts and uncles, in a field, and my father returned. He'd been gone quite a while. I mean weeks, maybe even a month. And he came driving by the field where we were playing. He stopped his car. I remember it clearly. You have memories like this, I'm sure, that you can remember clearly from childhood. He stopped his car and he called out to me. He called out to me. Now, he'd been gone. He was always gone. Most often, only home for a little while and then gone again. But he called out to me to come and join him in his car and drive the rest of the way to my grandmother's house, where my mother and the other siblings were waiting. And I said to him, no, I want to stay here and continue playing. I had no idea how that affected him until my mother told me. Later at the appropriate time, my mother said to me, when your dad came home, he told me the story of stopping by where y'all were playing. And when you were asked to join with him to continue to the house, you told him no. I want you to know that it hurts your dad greatly. It hurt him greatly that you wouldn't come with him. I didn't mean to hurt him. And it was a childhood thing to say, I'm going to play ball here and finish what I'm doing. But I've remembered it for more than half a century. I want you to think about the impressions of childhood. What goes into the heart of a child lasts a lifetime. And we must work diligently at putting into their hearts the heritage that God has given us. I want you to turn with me, please, to the New Testament. In this book of 1 Peter, the Bible describes us for who we are as Christians. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 9, the Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people." Now, Peter is not addressing the nation of Israel here. Let me read the verse again. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Did you know when Jesus Christ comes again, and he's coming again, when he comes again, every believer will be caught up to be with him. From among the multitudes of the earth, only those who are saved will be caught up to be with the Lord when he comes for his own. The tribulation begins. He's coming again in glory 7 years later, and his feet will touch the earth. But among the nations, among the peoples of the world, among the billions, there are those who know him, who belong to him, who are his. That's what he's talking about here. And he says, a peculiar people. That word peculiar means one who is possessed or owned by the Lord. We're his possession. And he says, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You see, you and I just can't get in the line with everybody else in the world and think if we're doing a little better than those families are doing with our kids, we're doing much better than we ought to be, than most people are doing. We don't compare ourselves with that. You know, a child may go through childhood and live in a nice house and have every amenity imaginable, finally go to great schools, graduate, get a great job. But if that child doesn't have the heritage of the Lord, they've missed what the Christian home child should have received. And the real witness for God is that Christian home. You and I are to leave a legacy of a Christian heritage. And we're doing that so they can leave it to the next generation. When God speaks of his people, look how he speaks of them. Chapter 5, 1 Peter. He talks directly to the pastors. And he says in chapter 5, verse 1, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage." What belongs to the Lord? What is given to us? Jeremiah, as a young man, saw that his heritage had turned into an abomination to God. He recognized they lost something as a people. And when you and I are dealing with the events of our lifetime and we see what's going on in our world, let's put our finger on the proper problem. We're losing our Christian heritage. And may I add, that's why many places that call themselves churches need to wake up with all their contemporary stuff going on, because they're replacing a heritage. I'm not just talking about tradition. My wife loves family traditions, and I'm happy about that. On certain days, we do certain things, and our family does it, and we see that repeated in our children's homes. I'm very happy about those traditions. But we're talking about more than traditions. We're talking about within all of that, there is a line of biblical heritage. And we're responsible to pass that to the next generation. And if we don't, there won't be the ability of that generation who missed it to pass it on to the next generation. It's God's heritage. In one sense, we're not just the caretakers. We are the trusted ones to continue that heritage, never making somebody be a Christian. You can't force that on someone. It's a matter of choice. You must open your own heart to God and repent of your sin and by faith come to know the Lord as your Savior. But you need to hear the gospel and then hear the Word of God and specific things about the Word of God. If I could have my way, I'd have many people rising up in many churches saying, stop what you're doing. I'm leaving here because you're trading our heritage that's lasted for centuries for some contemporary experiment. But worse than that, many people in sound Bible-believing churches are conducting their affairs just like the world without intensely working on the heritage that needs to be placed in the hearts of their own children. And may God help us. May God help us. It is our responsibility. Let's bow in prayer, may we? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy love and mercy. We thank Thee to know from Thy Word what our business is, what our work is, what we are responsible for doing. And before we also wake up to recognize that we're living in a generation of children in whom is no faith because they've been failed by the generation. They have been failed by the generation that should have taught them the Christian heritage. Oh God, wake us up and help us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. This heritage, this legacy is heavily upon my heart. And there are many people listening to the sound of my voice who know they need to take deliberate steps to make sure this happens in their heart and in their home, in the hearts of those they love. How many of you are thinking that way? And some things have to change before it can be done like God would be pleased for it being done. Would you lift your hand? Some things would have to change. Oh, come on. I speak to you as a shepherd of this flock under the Lord. What man and woman among us doesn't know that God is dealing with our hearts about this most crucial thing in our lives? May God help us. Great tragedy of our day is a lack of adherence to the Word of God. We're all so occupied, myself included, that we haven't taken care of the main thing. God is dealing with my heart.